Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. We're in the middle of a fabulous email class on communication and the Enneagram, and we thought it might be fun to talk to some folks in the Sangha about what they're seeing about communication and the processes that happened around communication. And so I'm joined by Anna and Scott, who are with us this afternoon to do just that. Welcome to both of you.
Hi, Jen.
Hey. Hi, Jen.
Hey. Let me do a sound check first. Scott, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I just turned you up a little bit, but I can hear you well now.
Okay. All right. Let me know if it fades. So, Scott, let's start with you. So what are some of your favorite insights you're having around the processes that happen with communication?
Well, first of all, it's just so much fun to be doing this together as a Sangha.
Yeah.
You know, it just really gives us the encouragement, gives me the encouragement to go up against, you know, all this karma that's getting in the way of communicating.
And having the support of the entire Sangha behind you as you do that.
Yeah, and, you know, what I'm getting to see is that the conditioning around communication has basically been don't communicate and stay in relationship to the voice in the head.
Yeah. That probably sums it up pretty well for all of us, huh? The conditioning is don't communicate.
Yeah. So, of course, we have all these wonderful supports around us, as I was saying, and the way out of that trap for the human is to communicate.
Yes.
And I got a nice example of that right in the middle of the process of doing the email class, which was, you know, resistance, basically, in doing the assignments. I was doing them, but I noticed kind of a lower energy, you know, and like, there's kind of a, you know, what's up with that? So instead of going to the voice in the head and getting a response there, I got on the recorder. And that kind of got me started. And then I had a reflective listening buddy call, like, coming right up. So I used that opportunity as well. And of course, you know, what I got to see was I was identified. You know, the identity doesn't want to look at conversations in the head or beliefs and really isn't interested in authenticity.
And it's so subtle, isn't it? Because before we actually communicate about it, which is what you did when you reached for the recorder and when you talked about it in your reflective listening buddies call, when it's just being talked about, which is so different than communication, we don't see that we're identified. So it just feels like me and what I'm going through. But in actually communicating about it, it's out there, and then you can see, wow, that's not me, and nor does it serve me.
Yes, that's not me, and it doesn't serve me. And then in that kind of disidentified space, all these things started to drop in, you know. And I had heard someone recently. So anyway, it's kind of hard to look at communication if you're identified as the one who's trapped in that place.
Right.
And so I heard someone recently just talking about following the human around to see how they learn. And so I kind of took that on to sort of follow the human around to see how he communicates. And just having that kind of distance, it's been really fascinating.
Yeah. That's one of the things I think is so fabulous about this class in particular, is it's so concrete. Because we're all doing it all day long, or attempting to, anyway, to communicate. And so we have just opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to see it in action.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's kind of like, oh, I see. So, you know, when you have a need, this is kind of how you go about it. Or, oh, there's a lot of pressure right there. That's interesting. How does that work? And so there's the interest, that spirit of inquiry. And then, of course, what comes along with that is just a great deal of compassion for the person who's navigating that voice talking to him. Because he's not, it's really just listening, you know, all day long.
Right.
And then, you know, there's that freedom. And now life can speak through the person.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the blockade has been removed in that process.
Boy, that's kind of it, isn't it? Is that what we get to is that most, quote, communication is happening through a conditioned filter, and when we have the ability to step back and see that filter, then there's actually nothing to be done because then life is just free to communicate through us.
That's great. There's nothing to be done. Life can just now live you. You just kind of stepped out of the way.
That's so great. Excellent. Yeah. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Jen.
And Anna, how about you? What are you seeing?
Oh, I'm really enjoying the opportunity through the AML class to support the human to drop the suffering process of getting communication right. So, okay, if you are going to communicate, then there is a right way to do it, and you've got to get it right.
Uh-huh.
And this kind of constant pressure of, well, what are you going to say? You know, how are you going to communicate that? And it just, you know, leads to a place of just being in a complete knot, being completely paralyzed and stuck. And the way I've been supporting the human with it is to really turn the attention to being absolutely embraced and surrounded by this bath, this mist of intelligence, you know, that it's not that, you know, not the what are you going to say that creates this I who has to say something and all of that second guessing and misery, but just being surrounded by this mist of intelligence and like really running attention over that awareness really actively. And the image that I love for that, because it's just so playful and beautiful, is of doing a bark rubbing. I don't know if that's a kind of familiar reference, in English primary schools, you know, you will do that in your little art classes where you get the
I think
paper.
We did it more with pennies, which I think says a lot about the American culture, doesn't it? We did it with money. I know what you're talking about.
You you hold the paper over the bark and rub it with crayon or charcoal, and it's like rubbing attention over awareness just to pick up what's there, you know? And, you know, if all else fails, just ask the tree while you're hanging out with it. And just to really direct attention to, I guess, you know, life as it is, you know, we're surrounded by this intelligence that's informing us all the time.
Yeah.
To really liberate the human from that pressure of what are you going to say?
Yeah. Boy, there's just so much isn't it? That image that you started with is so clear of, you know, how are you going to communicate that? I mean, how are you going to say that? I just picture this little tiny person with this big person standing back with their hands on their hips, kind of looking down at her. Like, well, how are you going to say that? You know, she's completely intimidated and, of course, tongue-tied and, you know, in a knot, as you say, versus that image of just being in that mist of surrounded by intelligence and how much more relaxing and fun and open and available to life's intelligence we would be in that place.
Right, because it's amazing that process, isn't it, that life doesn't seem to speak to us in sentences, and yet we, you know, amongst ourselves with other humans, do speak in sentences. We do our best, right? And so what happens in between that, you know, the intelligence informing and then something coming out of our mouths, and I just notice so often that, you know, I can be asked to respond to something, a situation might arise, and there's a seeing, like that very, you know, instant flash of seeing all the response that's needed to this situation or that feels appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the turning that into communication, how that can leave us open to going off, you know, for conditioned mind to fill the gaps with, well, what would be most compassionate for all, you know? And seeing again and again, it's such a powerful kind of training to stay with that insight, that intuitive knowing that comes through, that is not in sentences. And
exactly. And then, you know, if you take what you started with, if you take the right wrong out of it, there is no right way. There is no wrong way. It's impossible to do it wrong. Then it becomes a playful adventure, you know, so there's that, I can really relate to what you're saying, of sort of that dropping in that isn't in words, it's not in sentences, and yet now I'm going to, compose an email about it, or I'm going to write a note, or whatever. So there's that sort of playful, okay, so if we were going to put this into words, what might those be?
Right. That's when you have to get your bark rubbing out, right? And run attention over that awareness, just to pick up what's there.
And see which words pop out. I love it.
Yeah, because that intelligence doesn't even have the question, is this the right way to communicate? Is this okay? It's not even, you know?
That's right.
Not even. Yeah.
Oh, that's very beautiful. Good. Well, thank you very much. We're just about at our time. Was there anything else you wanted to say about that before we end? Did I lose you, Anna?
Oh, I know. I don't think so.
Okay. You felt complete. Everything was communicated.
I feel complete.
All right, very good. Well, thank you very much, and thank you to Scott as well.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And so this is where I would normally turn the show over to Michael and Sherry, but Michael is not able to be with us this afternoon, so I will welcome us to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Jen. That was fun.
It was fun. Yeah. And it's fun that that Michael leaves us so prepared when he has, I think it's twice a year that he can't join us for the show. He can't host the show. And Matt, he is so good about leaving me all completely prepared for it. You know, I've got my controls here and then hit this button and do that. So, I do my best to fill those big shoes.
Yeah, because twice a year, it doesn't necessarily stick with it,
It doesn't stick. I did a little trial run earlier.
Well, actually, the fun part was not that Michael's not here. I was actually meaning the fun part was your conversation with Scott and Anna.
Yeah, I did. I got that.
You knew that. Yeah. Okay, good. I just didn't want anybody to be confused.
I mean, that point that I think it was Scott that was saying how, you know, the class is so great because we're all communicating all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just so, it's so incredibly concrete to work with.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, it's true. It's that's a great point. So many of the classes that we do are really, what? How would we say? They're deeply spiritual.
Yes.
And they shed a lot of light on kind of places in practice that we're dealing with all the time, but we might not be aware of them. We might not look at them quite in that way.
Yep.
But this just takes us right to here's what goes on every day. One of the things that I love most about the Enneagram is it's great to know what my primary Enneatype is and have a sense of that. Uh-huh. And it's great to know, I don't know that we're going to get into any of this, but sort of where I go under these different circumstances.
Right.
But reading where everybody else spends a lot of their time and where they go under various circumstances just brings such a broad understanding and compassion.
Yeah.
You know, because the thing is, we've all got our challenges, we've all got our skill sets, and we've all got our challenges, and we're all basically up against the same thing, just doing the best we can to get out of all that karmic conditioning. So,
yeah, and you know, it's interesting as you say that, because what I was seeing is there's another workshop that you've offered to people, sort of the year-long Going Beyond Money Karma, that's so incredibly powerful because it's also very concrete. And I was seeing that this email class shares something with that in the sense of, as you said, every email class is points us in the direction of where we want to be and reminds us of all the places it's possible to live. And so much suffering can stay unseen in the most obvious places.
Yes,
and
exactly
what
so.
Is happening here is like, oh, my goodness. This is right here, right now, in the nitty gritty of what's going on in my life, and it makes it so powerful because then I start to see it everywhere. It permeates everything, and it becomes so useful as a tool in my entire life.
Yeah, yeah, and that hidden in plain sight business, of course, is how egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, really does it to people. Again, that most fundamental of spiritual understandings. You are not that ego.
Yes.
And what is that ego?
Yes.
You know, which part of me is it and not it?
Yes.
And so with this sort of thing, we see, you know, whatever our type is, then we see, ooh, wow, okay, that must be the ego part, because we're all saying exactly the same thing and up against the same thing, right? So, okay, there's a clue. And I find that extremely helpful. Anytime we can get another clue about, okay, the ego is not me. Which was the ego? Which of?
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it's, and it kind of becomes comical and so much fun, because there's that place of like, no, okay, which one is the ego? And there's that place of it's playful and it's fun, and then there's that place of like, darn it, I hate this. Which one is the ego? Oh, right, that one.
Uh-huh. Right.
Got it.
Yeah. All right, good.
Well,
I understand that going forward, we're going to hear from a lot of different folks in the class, and hear from different perspectives, because the various people, even though people don't know it, are different enneatypes.
That's right. Yeah.
So, giving that, I just want to give that little hint to people as you listen in over the next 3 weeks or so, because neither Anna nor Scott said a single thing I couldn't relate to.
Oh, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Now, they're not the same enneatype that I am, but primarily. I always have to say that, because it's, you know, after we do practice for a while, it gets a little tricky to say I'm this, because we get much more into that. Well, and I'm also that, and that a lot of the time. And these are folks who all have a different primary enneatype, and yet we can all recognize ourselves in everything that they say, which I think is
that's helpful.
Good for us.
For framing that, All right, so shall I move us on to announcements?
Sure. Oh, I forgot to ask you.
So don't miss Mornings with a Mentor, which is group coaching for support and connecting to unconditional love and acceptance. And you can get information about the next session, which is beginning June 10th, on sanghamarket.com.
That's it?
That's it.
That's all our announcements?
Well,
you know what, Jen, but since you don't have that much to say, I wrote down these things that I wanted to tell people. I just wrote a newsletter, little newsletter thing, and I was trying to get them all into the newsletter thing, but it just really didn't work. Okay, and then I went to the eye doctor today, I found out two things that I also wanted to tell people. So I'm going to take advantage of this position that I have to do that, that's all right.
Okay, let me just tell you quickly. I apologize. That was it for that announcement. I just want to say the other two things that are on here. I don't need to say the blurbs, I don't think, because we've heard them.
Oh, no, I thought you were finished. No, you go ahead.
But don't forget about the, in this way, I do most deeply valued practice to train myself, is open for Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, fabulous thing about that retreat, delicious food, of course, great location, but guidance with Sherry Huber, which is doesn't happen at every retreat, so that's a really great opportunity.
Mm.
And then also to discover how to let the voices of self-hate go, sign up for the foundational There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, which is the one that's open right now is in North Carolina, July 24th through the 31st.
Yeah, another fabulous location, right?
That
with delicious food and all. We specialize in that, though, don't we?
And all of that is on schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Oh, very good.
Okay, you're up now.
All right, so I found out these two pieces of advice from the eye person. One, we should always wear dark glasses.
Dark glasses?
We should always wear polarized dark glasses.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Just in the last 2 weeks, I've been doing that for some reason, religiously.
Yeah, well, see, always been ahead of the curve, Jen.
I know, it's true.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah,
very rarely.
True.
I think that's why I'm so excited.
And the other thing that you're going to be very excited about is that we should be taking a product called lutein, which prevents macular degeneration.
Okay.
But here's the deal. Kale has about 4 times as much lutein as a pill that you would take.
Oh, we are covered.
Aren't we covered? I knew you'd be excited about that. Okay, so then here are the other things, all right? I somebody told me this, and, you know, I love it when, you know, I like to pass along the
yep.
things that people tell me.
Yep.
So in California, we're a little hurting in the water department.
Right.
In fact, we're a lot hurting. And so the suggestion was, don't turn the water on full blast when you turn it on. And I have discovered that as the most marvelous mindfulness practice.
Uh-huh.
Because I confess that all my life, I just turned the tap on.
Yeah.
And I have discovered that I can do all of the same things. This is sort of like the depression. Don't call it depression.
Yeah.
Just call it low energy,
yeah.
right? I've discovered that I can do everything that I want to do in about the same amount of time with a tiny bit of water as with the tap all the way open.
Boy, that is a great point.
So isn't that good? Mindfulness and save water.
Yep.
The other thing that I wanted to say is, as you know, a fairly large group of us were at the monastery last weekend, and it occurred to me that there were a lot of people there from the Bay Area, and I don't know if people realize, maybe everybody does realize this, but I wanted to say it anyway, that old-timers are welcome to be there in any time for a weekend, right? Now, if you're not an old-timer, then, of course, you have to become an old-timer in order to do that. But if you are an old-timer, all people have to do is let you folks know so that they'll get fed,
yep.
right? And then they can come up and, I would think, come up for Thursday night group and then stay Friday and Saturday and be with the community and stay for group on Sunday and then depart.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so beautiful. It's always beautiful, but right now it's just so gorgeous.
I mean, you can't even count the different types of wildflowers that are in bloom right now. It's just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's just, it's crazy. And it's so wonderful when somebody gets together.
Yeah. It is.
So, and wonderful for you guys. I mean, I loved what Jim said last week
yeah.
about helping out with the tweets. Because it frees you guys up to cook or work in the garden or send out emails or whatever else you need to do. And just being there, having the support of Sangha and having people there appreciating what you're doing all the time, all of the efforts that are being made to keep our spiritual mothership airborne, it's wonderful all the way around.
Nice. Thanks for that, Sherry. Yeah.
It's
a good reminder. Yep.
All
right.
Okay. Do you have any people?
I have so many people. I want to remind people that to make gesho, to indicate your desire to talk with Sherry, you can press *6 and then 1 to put yourself in the queue. And a reminder that we ask folks to stick to one topic and approximately 5 minutes.
All right. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you. First caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, hi, it's Anna from Yorkshire in England.
Well, hello!
Hello, hello, hi, hello. I don't have to get up in the morning, so I thought I'd come
uh-huh.
and...
So you thought you'd join us in the middle of the night?
Absolutely, yeah.
Good.
So,
What's going on?
I'm just saying hello, really, because I can. I'm loving the email class.
Good.
It's really great. I love it that so using the system of the Enneagram sort of helps you to see so much, and not have that taking it personally. Aspect
yes.
to it.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's yeah.
it really is, isn't it? When yeah, we're so conditioned to focus on what people say and how they say it and take everything personally and make meaning out of everything. And when we start getting a sense of what a struggle communication is for just about all of us, how unconscious we are through much of it, and how little people mean to, how rarely people actually mean to give offense, and that we're basically just pretty unskilled but awfully good-hearted, then the compassion grows.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's just sort of been one moment after another of sort of like, oh my gosh, yes, I can absolutely see that. I didn't see that at all before, and now I can see it, and you know, and that's amazing. I was thinking about today's. Today's has come out. And it's about everything was, it is the middle of the night and my brain I think is wanting to slightly go to sleep. It was about it's about sort of like how if we don't listen to the voices of egocentric karmic conditioning as the way that we would do with our type, what we might authentically bring. And for me, it was equanimity. So I was just, I've had a great day. So I've just been like looking up equanimity and writing it out in different ways and seeing how that might be so for me. And I think just that in itself is going to be a project for the rest of the summer. And it's funny because that's how. I actually aspire to be and aim to be, particularly at work. And often I'll come home and I'll think, that didn't really happen then, but that's okay, that's cool, you know. But that is sort of what my aim is for me personally, but also, you know, to do work with young people to sort of role model that and pass that on, that skill on, if you like. So for me, it's a skill that I would have to learn because I can get caught up with emotions, so I think I have always sort of been fascinated by that. So it was really interesting to see it come up in today's class. So,
And equanimity, it's often misunderstood, I think, don't you?
Right.
It can often be seen as kind of flatlining or not really reacting or responding to anything, just and that's not really it, is it?
No. I think I have been more successful sometimes than other times, and a long time ago I have even been accused of that, you know, it's like you don't respond to anything, but I knew that at the time it was the only way that I could sort of survive, whereas I think now I can do it more and still give the impression of caring and do you see what I mean?
Because
I think I need to do it on a level for me to survive so that I don't spiral out, but also for the good of everybody that I'm with, you know.
And so you can do it, you can live from a place of responding, not reacting.
So you can be
right there with people. It's not that you're detached and aloof and cold. You can be right there, but you're not reactive.
Yeah, that's right. Because otherwise it just adds to the drama and doesn't actually help. It doesn't benefit anything.
So, makes the ego feel real and important and special, but doesn't really do anything for the well-being of, say, what is an ego?
Life. Right. Absolutely. And of course, it means that you're present where more. So I think if I'm practicing equanimity, I'm there. I'm actually there. Whereas
Yes, exactly. Fully present.
Yes.
Now I have to tell you this, because otherwise, you know, Jen will be rolling her eyes back there. You do know the color of equanimity, right? Do you know what color is?
I don't.
Okay. Well, see, I'm glad I brought it up. Pink. Pink is the color of equanimity.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
Now, I don't know this. I have no idea that this is so or has any bearing on anything. But if you consider, if you think of, and not everybody agrees with this, not everybody agrees that white is the color of the seventh chakra. But some do. Some folks think that. And red is the color of the first chakra.
Okay.
So if you are equanimous, you're going to be right there with pink.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that good?
And by complete coincidence, I'm in the middle of a picture at the moment. It's a really fun picture. It's called Into the Wild, and it's about walking away from all the stories and getting into nature and being where you are. And it is quite complex. There's lots going on, and that's very green. But I've got my next picture lined up because, over here in Britain, we had amazing blossoms this year. I don't know about you guys over there, but we had really cold nights and warm days. So this cherry blossoms were beautiful. And I've got a picture, and it's all sketched out and everything, and it's all going to be pink. I can't wait to do it. That's fitting with that, so that's wonderful. So just before I go, I just wanted to mention, I think about 2 weeks ago, you mentioned at the beginning of the radio show something about a year-long retreat and money or something, and you were wanting responses. I don't know if that went out to everybody, but I haven't seen anything, and I had a quick look through my emails, and I looked in my junk. But I could also resubscribe for notifications and things.
How about drop a note to the guest master, would you, at the monastery, and I'll tell you about it.
Oh, right. Okay, will do.
Okay. All right. Good.
Okay.
Great to hear from you.
Yeah, and thank you as always, and thank you everybody for everything. It's all wonderful, and I'm enjoying everything all the time.
Yes,
okay.
I know exactly what you mean. And you know the beauty of that, like when we're in it, well, anything, if we're doing this or if we're in an email class or whatever, you know, when we say thank you, it's really true that it's just there are just so many people involved.
Yeah.
Who are putting energy into all of this. And so we just have to say thank you to everybody. So,
that's
yes.
That's right, yes. Yeah, because there will be all sorts that I'm not absolutely aware of and don't know. So thank you to all of that.
All right.
And all of those things.
Yes.
Okay.
And thank you.
All right. Okay.
And good
all
night.
Right. Thank you.
Good night.
And goodbye to you. And good night, to Jen.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. Thank goodness that wouldn't have been complete without the pink, Sherry, so that was good.
I knew you were back there thinking, pink is the color of equanimity. She's going to say it any minute now. And many people probably on the call know, but acknowledge the sincerity and dedication of somebody who gets up in the middle of the night to be with us on this show, right? Kind of take you right back to Zambia and getting up at about the same time and staggering to a phone and
with our mosquito spray on to make
sure. Right. Yeah.
Oh, we can tell you stories.
Oh, the stories we could tell.
But let's move on to our next caller instead, shall we?
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Jen. It's Ramita.
Ramita, how are you? I was thinking about you. I was thinking about you today, wondering how you were doing. And here you are.
Here I am. I'm good. I hadn't called in on this platform, and um, I I just figured it was time.
Good. Good. Tell us what's going on.
Oh, lots of stuff. Just coming out of a bit of a fog. Which piece of it to look at? The email class, I am participating as much as conditioning will let me, and I'm trying to push up against it and having a lot of resistance, and conditioning had me forget to read a class assignment, has allowed me to submit my assignments but not read other people's. There's all these little things that are going on there. Mm-hmm. And to be, of course, completely unconscious of the assignment as I move around my day and interact with person after person after person.
Uh-huh. And then at the end of the day, perhaps remind you that you didn't pay attention to any communications during that day?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And yet
good at that.
It is. So I'm not taking it personally, and I'm watching it, and I'm sort of stepping back. And when I stop, then to say, okay, that's what conditioning's saying. Now, let me just open up the space here for a moment, and what did I notice about how I communicated,
mm-hmm.
or how, and something comes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but because awareness was there, huh?
Yes. Yes.
Awareness was there even if you were not consciously aware of awareness there.
Yes, yes. And of course, conditioning just wants to, you know, one of its favorite ploys is you didn't practice or you didn't do it right and, you know, overlaying or sweeping everything that I did pay attention to under the carpet. So I've seen through that ploy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, again, it's so concerned about your practice, right? So desirous of you doing a deep and solid practice every day.
Yeah.
Your friend conditioning. Yeah.
Well, one thing that I've decided, the evenings are especially tough for me getting bamboozled. So it occurred to me I'm doing a happiness hour when I get home.
Oh, you know, tell me about that. I love that. What does it consist of?
Well, you know how a happy hour is a very popular concept.
And, yes, I've heard of those. I didn't even think of that. That's funny. That's great. Usually they're about like 4 to 6 or something, right? But you're gonna limit yourself here to an hour.
Well, and it might not be a whole minutes, right? But the mm-hmm. transition from when I get home, I find I really need to recenter. You know, the mornings I can center, I have my whole practice list, but in the evenings it all seems to fall apart. So having a happiness hour, I find something, you know, it could be recording and listening with a mentor, it could be sitting for a few minutes, it could be something aerobic, but something, some practice to acknowledge that this is where my attention is, this is where I want my attention to be, and I want to bring that quality of attention to the rest of my evening instead of just giving it over to conditioning, which happens too often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so acknowledging that you've been required to give energy to other people during the day, mm-hmm. right? And you're happy with that requirement. I mean, you go to work and it's what you do, right? But then when you come home, now it's the time to give the energy to you,
mm-hmm.
right? And in theory, of course, when we're giving energy to other people during the day, it's energy for us too, but we know that realistically a lot of times it just doesn't feel that way. And so you get to have a period of happiness, sort of a celebration for you with you.
Yep. And I'm mm-hmm. finding that I'm really looking forward to it, and it takes I want to do a period of practice in the evening, takes it out of conditioning's hands, and it's not a should. It's really reminder that this is happiness. This is what I want my life to be more and more about, and feels really good. So I just thought I'd share that.
Oh, that's great! I love it. Yeah, hopefully other people will hear it and take on that practice too. During the email class, my days are different than they are in the rest of my life, and because there's so much, you know, there's all these extra hours of standing at the computer during the day, and so I'm following a very specific schedule, which actually Ashwini helped me lay out. So it makes it sets it up so that I get all of the things in that are important to me. You know, first part of the morning is all practices, and then I go to work, and then I make sure that I eat and exercise and all of that, and then I stop at 6:30, and it's exactly I do actually pretty much what you're saying. Then that's my time. Then I get to go for a walk in the beautiful part of the day, and then I get to sit, and I get to record and listen about the day and all of the things that take care of me and give all of that energy to me. And it's I'll never, even when email class is over, I'm not going to go back, because it is, as you say, it's such a happy thing. This is not good phrasing, but I'm going to use it anyway, to reward ourselves at the end of the day for the hard work that we've done all day, participating in the ways that we've been participating. Great way to say thank you to the human.
Yes, I just got this image of coming home to my house, but then coming home to my heart. And that's sort of really reconnecting again, like you said, with back to me, back to center.
It's nice. That's lovely.
I'm enjoying it. Thank you so much for the class, and I'm recommitting over and over every moment.
Okay, good. I'm hoping a lot of people will, because we're at that point now where people have been, you know, bamboozled, as you say, and then it gets kind of discouraging, and wouldn't it just be easier to put this behind us and, you know, live to fight another day, and to get to this point and realize that, no, okay, I've seen all that. I've learned a lot already. I've watched a lot of trickery and chicanery going on, and now I'm gonna commit and start again.
Thank you very much, Sherry. Good night.
Thank you, Ramita. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Ramita. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And Sherry, we're going to break to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And Sherry, we've got plenty more callers, so I'm just going to move us right along.
Okay.
Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Janice from North Carolina.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Okay. Sounds like there's a lot in that.
There is. I mean, I'm doing good. Oh, no, I'm going to cry. So my dog died a couple weeks ago, and I was just going to call in and kind of check in with where I am with that.
And where are you with that?
Well, where I am with that, I'm practicing like my hair's on fire, and which is a good thing. And sorry, I don't know what, but basically,
you know what? I don't have any problem whatsoever with hairs. So
okay, I'm actually doing pretty good. Somewhere along the way, I, with the mentor's help, determined that I could be with, my dog's name was Bridget, and she kind of, like, represented unconditional love and presence to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got that I didn't have to wait to be with her. I could be with her anytime in the present moment and be with unconditional love. Kind of like, you know, there's no reason you need to wait to be in heaven. You can actually experience it on earth, just depending on where your attention is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I practice. I've been, well, at first, I don't know how many days it lasted, but there was no choice other than, I mean, it was horrible. It was like, kill myself or be in the present moment where I'm okay.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, it was horrible, and night was scary, too. I mean, just, and the regret, and the, you know, like, what's the point in life? Why would you ever love anything? I mean, just on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Although, if I, you know, just got to the breath, it's like, well, everything's actually fine.
Yes. Yeah. And Janet, can I ask you about that just for a minute?
Sure.
Okay. Did you have a sense when this was going on that it was actually someone kind of being tortured? In other words, that...
I didn't get a sense it was a someone, but I certainly sensed it was torture. Or, you know, I was aware the constant reminding of what I was doing. She had surgery, and then it was pretty quick, but it was this kind of 3 or 4 days where she was supposed to be okay and then wasn't. And there's just this constant, like, reminder of what I was doing the week before and the minute she died and the minute that I visited her last.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, so I didn't really sense it as a person other than just, like...
Well, what I meant by that is that... There was, you know, if we saw her, we would say there's Janice going through this experience, and then there's this just constant barrage of and then you would come back to the breath, and she would be saved from that barrage.
Yes, most definitely, and I mean, it was so severe that, I mean, I had no choice but to, and still I'm continually coming back to the breath. The hardest part, when I had lost my recorder a few days before this, but I immediately got one because I knew that it was like I was at the point of the opposite of gratitude, like the opposite of whatever gratitude, the opposite of gratitude is where I was, you know, and I didn't know how to get to gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the recorder and the mentor solved that. But when I was making the recordings, I didn't necessarily, you know, it's not like I wanted to or knew where I wanted to get. But I listen to them every day now, and they're exactly what I need still. I mean, it's only been a couple weeks, but they're just perfect. They bring me right back to the breath, and they bring me back to... Some of them counter any kind of regret that comes in, like, you know, that I did take care of her and that she loves spending every minute with me and, you know, countering a lot of, you know, the opposite that was being said. Anyway,
I have not been clearer.
I mean, I seriously, in my lifetime, have not been clearer and more present for this amount of length of time, probably ever, but it's because I'm constantly coming back to the present moment, basically to be with Bridget, because there's nothing else that I want to do other than live in unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, the desire is so strong, but it's like I've attached it to Bridget, which I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I think she is floating around in the present moment.
Oh, well, if we want to, you know, get dangerously New Agey here, but it also happens to be, as far as I can tell, true. The energy that she was, that mm-hmm. she embodied and brought to your life and represented for you, unconditional love, presence, is still there. So to say she's still there doesn't seem a leap to me.
Yeah, I don't. And I was getting that from the mentor, that I can be with her at any time, you know, that I choose.
Absolutely.
And that it would grow and grow and last longer and longer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What an outrageous gift for one, in this case, four-legged person, to give to another two-legged person.
Yeah.
To bring that experience to your life.
Yes, and then to leave me with, yeah, and to, I mean, to leave me with it, like, stronger
yes.
than ever.
Yes. Yeah.
And going into it, I was kind of baffled about grieving but not suffering over it, or being sad but not suffering, you know, like, I don't know, I didn't quite mm-hmm. understand, you know, sadness, and, you know, is sadness just a label, or is it just energy coming through? And I get this, I can totally get the when there's suffering with it.
Mm-hmm.
But where I am with that right now is that I do miss her physical, she had physical characteristics that I really do miss. You know,
mm-hmm.
like her physical mm-hmm. being and everything,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
But I can miss that without suffering over it.
Yes, and it's such an important place of practice, because and I know you're going to know what I mean by this. So there's sadness, and it comes and it goes. Right, you walk up to a place where she would usually be, and she's not there, and there's just this stab of sadness, and you feel that sadness, and if you stay present, that sadness will pass, and it will in fact turn into something else, possibly a memory of her that actually would make you smile. That would, you know,
yeah.
lighten your heart. Okay, the suffering happens when the voices come in and start a story.
Yeah, the very first practice I put into place was I noticed that I had the most suffering when there was a conversation in my head where I was telling someone else that she died. It was, you know, it was the mm-hmm. most suffering that I would start crying every time. It was just a conversation in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And so I
yep.
started tapping my nose twice, breathing in twice, saying this here now, and feeling, living in Bridget's unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
I actually
yes.
still do and, that.
Yes, which is wonderful, because what is meant to train you to suffering, you're using to train you to come back to the present and choose unconditional love.
Yes, because I don't want to, early on I didn't want to dishonor her memory.
Yes.
You know, I wanted to honor her memory with being present in unconditional
yes.
love and present.
Yes, yes. Not to have her life turn into suffering when that's not what her life was about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which
and,
it, and,
I'm
and
pretty
your point
sure
is,
she wouldn't want that for me.
Oh, God, no. You know she wouldn't.
I know she wouldn't.
Yeah. And that the place that you're exploring, again, is so important to really see that it's kind of what we were talking about with the equanimity. You know, that we can feel everything that we feel. There's no problem with feeling anything. You're going to grieve her loss. You just are. It's the stories. It's when conditioning takes hold of it. Ego maintenance gets it and wants to turn it into suffering that takes the attention off of Bridget, off of you, and puts it onto it.
Yes.
That's
yes.
what we don't want to do. That's what we never, ever want to indulge. And you know, when people struggle with loss, that's what's happening. It's not the grieving
mm-hmm.
that's the problem.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the loss that's the problem. It's egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate that's the problem.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a sense that I might be resisting feeling certain things. I'm not sure about this. Just like there's a fear of feeling certain things.
Well,
but,
you know,
but
the,
it brings,
the thing
I come back to the present and I'm okay. It's like, well, everything is actually okay, you know.
Yes, and Janice, that's the kind of thing that you know you can talk about with the mentor.
Yeah.
Right, and explore it. Explore that as a deal. You know, yes, you can come back to the present and you can be in unconditional love and you can be fine. But if you're getting information that there's a fear there about something, then, you know, you want to turn attention to that so that that doesn't find a place to live and take over and turn into something that you get a story about. You're afraid to look at that because you won't be able to stand the way you feel or, you know, whatever conditioning does with that.
Yeah. Yep. So that's where I am with it.
Wow. Well, I truly, you know, I mean, obviously I can't feel the way you're feeling now, but God knows I know that experience. And, oof. Yeah.
Yeah.
Losing a best friend. There's
yeah.
losing a best friend with two legs, and there's losing a best friend with four legs, and they're very, very different experiences.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Take good care of yourself, huh?
Okay.
Take care of yourself the way you know Bridget would want you to take care of yourself. How's that?
I will.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Janice. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. That was a really beautiful, helpful conversation, Sherry. Wow.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep.
I swear that's what they're here for.
I know.
You know, children teach us to love unconditionally in one way, and those critters,
yeah.
they just teach us a whole different thing about presence and unconditional.
Boy. I could go on about that, but
yeah.
that's a topic for another day.
Because
we have more callers, so here we go.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. They said you're unmuted. Oh, my
yeah.
goodness.
I just heard that. I was having a four-legged little moment there. It's Connie in Ohio.
Hi there.
I didn't expect to get on here. Wow. That was beautiful. I agree. And I was having some tears in a moment with that. So I really kind of, I guess that'll segue into something that I was wanting to talk about from the Peace Quote today.
Okay.
Which just kind of struck me. a lot, and I just wanted to, I really was wanting to ask a question about it. Right now I'm thinking, oh, my, not my current dog, who's an issue, but my first wonderful dog, who was total 100% always unconditional love, would want me to treat myself wonderfully. Yeah, the Peace Corps.
That's a good line, isn't it? That's a good line. You know, there's one about, I want to be the person my dog thinks I am, but I think we need to add the one about we need to treat ourselves the way our dog would want us to treat ourselves.
Right, mm-hmm. And they are so much wiser. They are so much wiser sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Anyway, I've been, I love the money things and the blogs and the things that are going on. That's been interesting. I've been working on that issue for a while. It's been about a year since I brought that up. So I'm happy to have that, that coming up. And I've been making efforts along those lines. Which is sort of, you know, it's kind of, it's been a really interesting ride. That was, I guess, my biggest karma area. So it's been really interesting to look at all that and to try to just keep making efforts and being aware and seeing what's going on. And today when I read the Peace Quote, it said something about complimenting yourself each time an effort is made.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really just, when I read that, I was just, my head kind of started spinning about the word effort, because I realized that a lot of my efforts are in, you know, very day-to-day, egocentric, karmic conditioned ways that my efforts are put forth, you know, and for those kinds of things, and who's talking and whose efforts are these. And so so I was just very curious about hearing what you would say in, about that line about effort, you know, because there's effort to practice and effort for awareness and there's that kind of effort, but to have the happiness in the life and to do those things like we want, and what's really, you know, good for us, we have to make other kinds of efforts in our day-to-day life, which revolves around work and money and those types of things. So I was trying to do this today about complimenting myself each time an effort was made, and I was realizing that all I do all day long is make efforts towards things. So I just wanted to get some feedback
on
that.
And, Connie, the obvious question is, did you get the compliments?
You know, it was like, no, because EKC Self-Hate would come in and just tell me that wasn't the thing that I was actually supposed to do or trying to do or wanted to do. You know, so it was just like, and then I just got in that point of overwhelm. You know, I was just overwhelmed and I couldn't sort it out. And it's like,
okay, so here's the deal. The deal. This is the one that you and probably an awful lot of people in the world could take on for a long time. And that is to compliment yourself, to thank yourself, to remark upon the extraordinary effort that it takes to go out every day into the world with that on your back and to show up and be a good person and do your best to be kind and do a good job every day with that kind of nastiness haranguing you.
Because you know, mostly the thing that where the self-hate really comes in is when I start getting into resentment because my efforts are not rewarded.
see there.
Whoa, yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. Yes, so now you've seen something really, really important. It talks you into not being able to acknowledge your efforts, and then it makes you resentful that your efforts are not acknowledged. That is exactly, no wonder you feel overwhelmed and confused. It's got you in the equivalent of a mental blender.
Wow. Wow, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like being in a stranglehold all the time with that.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And when I read that, I thought, wow, there is a way here to let all that go and to break free of this.
Yep.
But I just
And in fact, my dear, I would say that when you read it, that's exactly what happened. That's why it occurred to you that it was possible for it to happen, because you just experienced it. That's subtle, but I have to point it out.
Wow.
So here's my encouragement. You know, I was saying to Ramita that one of the things that I do, of course, I record and listen all the time, all day long. You know, I'm just, I figure it saves whoever might be around me from just my endless nattering, because God knows I am a natterer. So, I'm recording and listening constantly. And one of the things that I do regularly is record about everything I do. So, I record when I do all of the practices that I have laid out for myself to do in the day, and about what I did for work and the phone calls that I participated in and conference calls, and I'll record about the radio show and what happened there and what I saw and what it was like and all of that. All day long, I'm keeping track of all of the things that I'm participating in, because they make me happy, and it really makes me happy to have it acknowledged. Yeah? So I'm going to encourage you to do the same thing. And I mean, there is no act too small to acknowledge. And as you do it, you notice I say as you do it because I know you're going to do it. As you do it, as you record these things, you will start seeing more and more things to record. You'll become more aware of all of the little things, big things, medium-sized things that you're doing all day long to be a good participatory citizen of the world. And you're going to record them, and you're going to listen to them, and as you do that, you're going to get happier and happier and happier.
I believe that when I read it. I just didn't know. I knew I needed a little help, so...
Mm-hmm. And don't forget, I think part of that was thank you, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so you want to do that. That's a great practice. You know, find people to say thank you to all day long, and thank her. You know, great job getting us here. Oh, that was a lovely interaction. Thank you for that. Okay. Now, in the beginning, of course, the voices are going to go nuts because, talk about egocentric. Talk about creepy. Oh, my God. You let it roll its imaginary eyes, okay? You just keep doing it, and you watch the magic happen.
All right. Okay.
And then let me know. That's the other part of it. You have to let me know.
Okay. All right. That's one. Okay. Thank you so much, Sherry. I've got my recorder in my hand.
Good. You're going to get off of this, and you're going to record about this and record about how amazing it was that you called, that you spoke, that you talked about this, that you got this whole thing going, and how you're going to be with that, and I would say how eager and excited you are to support this very, very good, sincere, hardworking human being, And blah, 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 in the best of all possible senses.
Yes, and mentor wants to hear all those blah, blah, blahs.
Absolutely, is fascinated, waiting yes. with bated breath.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So, okay, wonderful. Thank you.
All right,
so much.
Take care. Yeah, good night.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Connie. I have such a big smile on my face. Wow, that was just like practiced perfectly in a nutshell. You know, so you read a thing in the morning, a peace quote, you start looking at it, you're working with it. There's a piece you realize you could use some help with. You call into the radio show. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. And away we go.
Yeah.
And it's true. We get happier and happier and happier.
Yep, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And there's the first thing to go on the recording. So I practiced
yeah.
it all day, and then I called in the radio show, and then.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I love what Connie said about, and the mentor wants to hear all about these, and it's true. I mean, it's just, God, it's what we've always wanted, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody who actually wants to hear every detail of our day,
yeah.
and is happy for us.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and the response always, you know, when I practice the two-handed recording and mentors listening after someone's recorded, that no matter what it is, the first response is always just so endeared to the person who has just recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, seeing the goodness, seeing the, you know, so much compassion for whatever's going on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
So that brings us right.
It's, you know, it's all the same conversation, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's what Janice was talking about with Bridget.
Yeah.
It's what Ramita was talking about with coming home from work.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what Anna was talking about with equanimity.
Yeah.
You know, it's all the same thing
yeah.
that we're going for. We're either off here, lost in conditioning and not happy, or we're finding our way back here to center, and we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite simple. Yeah.
That image all the way back from the Good News update just dropped in that Anna was talking about, the difference between kind of being yammered at versus in that mist of life's intelligence and compassion and love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's something that is within our power
mm-hmm.
to have. You know, we don't have to hope for it and wait for it and wish for it. We need to stop doing what isn't that and start doing what is that.
Yeah, and practice it.
Practice it.
Practice it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Very good. Well, we're a couple of minutes past the hour, so thank you for another fabulous show.
Well, thank you, Jen. Thank you for sitting in for Michael. You did a fabulous job.
Thank you.
His job is not in danger. But you did do a fabulous job, so thank you
very
much.
I'll record about that tonight.
There you go. Okay.
And I'll be excited to be on the other end of listening next week.
Yes, and take care of yourself the way Sadie wants you to take care of yourself.
Oh, she does such a nice job. Yep.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Good night.